The governor of the South African Reserve Bank, the 10th one, members of the executive committees for finance, honorable members, fellow South Africans. Today I table for the consideration of this House, number one, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, two, Adjustments Appropriation Bill, three, Supplementary Budget Review, four, Disaster Management Tax Relief Bill, and finally, Disaster Management Tax Relief Administration Bill. Madam Speaker, we are in the midst of a fast evolving pandemic. In South Africa and around the world, we have made the decision to protect each other. We have quickly adapted to the new situation. We're learning the new protocols to wear masks in public, to regularly and frequently wash our hands, to learn to maintain safe social distance. And as a result, millions have stayed safe. We remain deeply concerned about the path of the virus. But in common with several other countries around the world who have adopted a stringent early lockdown position, we have flattened the curve and saved many lives. As a wise farmer will tell you, when the tempest is raging, you must protect your plants from damage. Our aloe ferox, like our people, is protected. Mr. President, you have been the most caring farmer looking after our aloe ferox. The storm is not over yet, but if we follow the health guidelines and protocols and make the correct decisions to prepare for a new global reality, things will soon get better. The storm shall pass. Honorable members, the Public Finance Management Act, read together with the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, empowers the Minister of Finance to table an adjustment budget when conditions change. The historic nature of this pandemic and the severe economic downturn it has occasioned has made it necessary for us to table such an adjusted budget. We'll table a second adjustments budget in October together with a medium-term budget policy statement. This supplementary budget does two things. First, it brings an adjustments appropriation bill and a Division of Revenue Amendment Bill to the House. It also formalizes the two tax bills to give effect to our response. These bills ask Parliament to approve the response package to COVID-19. Second, Mr. President, this supplementary budget lays a path to the direction that you gave us on the 21st of April, when you said, and I quote, not merely return our economy to where it was before the virus, but to forge a new economy in a new global reality. The supplementary budget sets out a roadmap to stabilize debt by improving our spending patterns and creating a foundation for economic revival. Most of our energies and resources have been focused on COVID-19 as we fight this pandemic. We have quickly adopted temporary counter-cyclical fiscal and monetary policy measures. After the storm ends, we must work as quickly as possible to emerge with a sustainable fiscus. We have many strengths. This includes our young and ambitious people, our institutions, a robust and vibrant democracy, an independent judiciary, and our commitment to social justice and progress. Together with our economic strengths, this country has a diverse industrial base, a flexible exchange rate system, stable inflation, and deep domestic capital markets that allow us to borrow in order to fund some of the gap. But debt is our weakness. We have accumulated far too much debt. This downturn, severe as it is, will add more to the debt. This year, out of every rand we pay in tax, 21 cents goes to paying the interest on our past debts. This level of indebtedness condemns us to ever higher interest rates. If we reduce this debt, we will reduce interest rates for everyone, and we will unleash investment and growth. So today, Madam Speaker, with an eye on the future, we set out a strategy to build a bridge towards recovery. Our Herculean task is to close the mouth of the hippopotamus, that gap between revenue and the ever-increasing expenditure. This hippo is eating our children's inheritance, and we have to do all that we can to close its mouth. This is our Herculean task that we have to undertake. Let me outline, Madam Speaker, our updated fiscal and economic focus for the current fiscal year. COVID-19 has turned the global economy upside down. In the February budget, we expected that the global economy would expand by 3.3% in 2020. We now expect a global contraction of 5.2% this year. This will bring about the broadest collapse in per capita income since 1870. Throughout the world, tens of millions of workers have lost their jobs. South African unemployment has also risen to around 30.1% in the first 3 months of this year. The South African economy is now expected to contract by 7.2% in 2020. This is the largest contraction in nearly 90 years. Inflation, however, will remain low in 2020, in line with the outcomes of this morning. Commodity price increases and a weaker oil price have softened the blow. But as a small open economy, reliant to a large extent on exports, we've been hard hit by the decline in global demand and the restrictions of economic activity. South Africa has responded to this economic shock with an unprecedented set of measures. Never before has government worked closely with the private sector, with labor, with the community, and with the central bank. Standing as a united people It is clear that we can achieve our objectives. The government's response to COVID-19 has provided an economic support package which directs 500 billion rand straight at the problem. This is one of the largest economic response packages in the developing world. The South African Reserve Bank has reduced interest rates and made it easier for banks to lend to their clients and therefore support the economy. The South African Reserve Bank has also supported liquidity in the domestic bond market. The bank has stated that they stand ready to take additional action should the need arise. More than 2 million customers have received around 30 billion rand in relief from their commercial banks. Insurers and medical aid schemes have provided premium holidays. Landlords have provided rental relief. All of this in just 100 days. This is indeed a remarkable achievement. I now turn to the fiscal framework for 2021. Honourable members, projected total consolidated budget spending, including debt service costs, will exceed 2 trillion rand for the first time ever. Gross tax revenue collected during the first 2 months of 2020 was 142 billion rand, compared to our initial forecast for the same period of 177.3 billion rand. Put another way, we are already 35.3 billion rand behind on our 2020-21 target. As a consequence, gross tax revenue for 2020-21 fiscal year is revised down from 1.43 trillion rand to 1.12 trillion rand. That means that we are expecting to miss our tax target for the year by some 300 billion rand. Part of this revision is because the measures announced earlier this year give taxpayers outright relief of some 26 billion rand, and also there are delays in the tax collection of approximately 44 billion rand. These proposals are contained in the Disaster Management Tax Relief Bill and the Disaster Management Tax Relief Administration Bill that we table today. Taken together, the measures and adjustments we present translate into a consolidated budget deficit of 761.7 billion rand, or 15.7% of GDP in 2020-21. This is compared to the deficit of 370.5 billion, or 6.8% of GDP, projected during the February budget. This increase is mainly due to the revised revenue projections and also the payouts from the unemployment insurance fund. The narrower measure, known as the main budget deficit, is projected to be 14.6% of GDP. Our early projection is that gross national debt will be close to 4 trillion rand, or 81.8% of GDP by the end of this fiscal year. This is compared to an estimated 3.56 trillion, or 65.6% of GDP in February. Without external support, these borrowings will almost entirely consume all our national domestic savings, leaving no space for investment or borrowing by everyone else. For this reason, we need to access new sources of funding throughout the world. Government intends to borrow around $7 billion from international financial institutions to support our response. We must make no mistake, these are still borrowings and not revenue, and thus they will need to be repaid in the future. The supplementary budget proposes 21.5 billion rand for COVID-19 related healthcare spending. It also proposes a further allocation of 12.6 billion to services at the front line of our response to the pandemic. Allocations have been informed by health experts who have been modeling this disease. And it is very clear that we have a big struggle ahead of us. This money partly supports increased screening and testing, allowing us to open up more and more of the economy. We have successfully increased our COVID-19 bed capacity to about 27,000, identified 400 quarantine sites with a capacity of around 36,000 beds across the length and breadth of our country, and deployed nearly 50,000 community healthcare workers to screen millions of South Africans. We have tested over 1.3 million people. Provincial governments will add at least 5 billion rand for the education catch-up plan, social welfare support for communities, and provision of quarantine sites by public works departments and responses in other sectors. We salute all the brave and outstanding healthcare workers and also essential workers of our country for leading in this fight. We also salute the police and the Defence Force for all their efforts. We understand that tariffs have been agreed upon with private hospitals to support the public health sector capacity. The Solidarity Fund has also come to the support of government's efforts. In this regard, we would like to thank all the volunteers at the fund who continue to be part of these processes. Madam Speaker, over 18 million South Africans have received temporary COVID-19 grants. The rollout of the short-term special relief of distress grant will temporarily support those without an income. An additional 1.5 million people have received this already. To support vulnerable households, an additional allocation of 25.5 billion rand to the Social Development Department is proposed for a total relief package of 41 billion rand. All these measures will come to an end in October. We have implemented health and hygiene measures in 7,000 early childhood development centers and appointed about an additional 1,800 social workers. Now, the figures from yesterday show that the unemployment rate in our country is the greatest challenge. The economic support package sets aside 100 billion rand for a multi-year comprehensive response to our jobs emergency. The President's Job Creation and Protection Initiative will be rolled out over the medium term. It will include a repurposed public employment program and a presidential youth employment intervention. In this year, an amount of 6.1 billion rand is already allocated, and a further 19.6 billion rand has been set aside for this purpose. As of mid-June, the Unemployment Insurance Fund had provided 23 billion rand in COVID-19 relief to over 4.7 million workers affected by this pandemic. This has required a huge upgrade and repurposing of the UIF system to deal with the increase in mostly online applications and to build in protections against fraud, because indeed the fraudsters have also been hard at work, We thank all involved for the upgrade. There were many individuals from the private and NGO sector who volunteered their time to assist the UIF system. There are still challenges, but we're confident that the team is working tirelessly to iron them out. Honorable members, the division of revenue presented in the 2020 budget is revised as follows. The national share for 2020-21 increases from 758 billion rand to 790 billion rand. The provincial share decreases from 649 billion to 645 billion rand, and the local government share increases from 133 billion rand to 140 billion rand. Local government is at the heart of our response to the pandemic. Accordingly, an additional 11 billion rand is allocated to local government through the equitable share. A further 9 billion rand will be reprioritized within allocated conditional grants to fund additional water and sanitation provision and the sanitization of public transport. Municipalities will adjust their budgets to take into account the sharp decline in revenue as indicated as a result of the situation we find ourselves. We urge communities to hold councils accountable for the spending of these allocations. The National Treasury will also monitor the spending patterns through monthly and quarterly reports. Madam Speaker, after a slow start, including all the detailed and technical legal preparations, the loan guarantee scheme is expanding rapidly. In its first month of operation, the scheme lent over 10 billion rand. Many more applications are being processed as we speak, and lending is expected to rise quite significantly. Now that we have moved to an advanced level three, most of the economy is going to open for business. We must help businesses to get moving. The loan guarantee scheme, therefore, now also includes a business restart option. This means that all businesses, even above the 300 million turnover level, are now free to apply for this facility. That's why we prefer to call it a business restart program. We're also finalizing amendments to the repayment holiday and turnover limits, as indicated, and releasing terms and conditions to support lending. This is being done by the South African Reserve Bank, the National Treasury, and the Banking Association. Madam Speaker, I now turn to the second part of this supplementary budget, which is to put before you, before this House, the steps that we're taking towards the medium-term budget policy statement. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, springs to mind. Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it. But the small gate and the narrow road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We are faced as a nation with a choice between these two gates. As South Africa responds to the current health and economic crisis, a fiscal reckoning looms. The public finances are dangerously overstretched. The wide gate is passive. It's a passive country that lets circumstances overwhelm it. If we remain passive, economic growth will stagnate. Our debt will spiral upwards, and debt service costs will crowd out public spending on education and other policy priorities. We already spend as much on debt service costs as we do on health in this financial year. Eventually, the gains of the democratic era would be lost. The wide gate opens to a path of bankruptcy. A sovereign debt crisis happens. And let's maybe indicate, Madam Speaker, what a sovereign debt crisis is. In short, a sovereign debt crisis is when a country can no longer pay back the interest or principal on its borrowings. We're still some way away from that, but if we do not act now, we'll shortly get there. The results are devastating in the event of a sovereign debt crisis. Interest rates skyrocket. Spending has to stop in many instances. Inflation takes hold and people grow much poorer. This is what happened in Germany in the 1920s, to Argentina and to Zimbabwe in the recent period, and to Greece in the past few years. Argentina, for example, experienced a situation where their ships were attached. Greek civil servants and pensioners had their salaries and pensions slashed. It is a situation we do not want to find ourselves. Another type of debt crisis is when a country undergoes restructuring of its debt in order to avoid a default, as was the case for Ukraine in 2000, Pakistan in 1999, and Uruguay in 2003. Or a country could be solvent and able to pay its debt over the long term, as has been the case in a number of countries. We want to go through the path of sustainability and go through the narrow gap. The cabinet, under the leadership of President Ramaphosa, has found the narrow gap gate. Government shall go through it. Government will narrow the deficit and stabilize the debt at 87.4% of GDP in 2023-24. Cabinet has also adopted a target of a primary surplus by 2023-24. This is about the same time that our Alloferox will flower for the first time. As any farmer will tell you, patience and focus is required. The medium-term expenditure framework process will be guided by the principles of zero-based budgeting from July onwards. This means that budgeting from now onwards will be based on clearly set out policy priorities, and therefore amounts will be accordingly allocated. There's been a lot of discussion in the media about the fate of the land bank. I can confirm today that we will be recapitalizing the land bank to the tune of 3 billion rand. The land bank is far too important, and we need to support them. We also need to work with them through their restructuring process to ensure that we come out with a bank that's strong and sustainable. A firm policy basis has been laid by the policy documents towards an economic strategy for South Africa, which was accepted by Cabinet last year. While some of the measures have been delayed because of the current situation in which we find ourselves, we think that the time to push forward has arrived. Deputy Minister Masondo will coordinate the implementation of this process to implement the restructuring program. He is going to coordinate what we call the Vulindlela process, the opening the path process. One of these is to shift away from the electricity supply system that was introduced in 1923 when the Queen's grandfather, King George, was the King of England and also the head of state of the Union of South Africa. The last few years have shown the inefficiency of this archaic system. Provisional allocations to Eskom were made on the understanding that the government's electricity roadmap would be implemented. However, progress has been very slow, and my colleagues are taking the matter further by trying to speed up the process. And this should be a non-negotiable. This year, nearly half of all consolidated revenue will go towards the compensation of workers in the public service. We value the important work that public servants do. Minister Mkunu is negotiating with our partners in the labor movement to find a balanced solution that sets compensation at an appropriate, affordable, and fair level. We wish him well in this regard. Finally, honorable members, building a bridge to a post-lockdown future will require that we build high-quality physical bridges, roads, railways, ports, and other infrastructure. Infrastructure has demonstrated throughout the world that this can be a flywheel by which we can further spur economic growth. Just as we have toiled together to manage the pandemic, let us harness this same unity of purpose and build the infrastructure our nation needs. Yesterday, the President hosted a successful Sustainable Infrastructure Development Symposium, drawing in sector specialists, technical and financial restructuring experts, and policy departments that have considered 177 infrastructure projects across the public and private sectors. And now I want to conclude, Madam Speaker. The gospel tells us, as we indicated, that we should try and go through the small gate. And our attempt at repurposing the economy is precisely for this purpose. Mr. President, Deputy President, I'd like to thank you very much for your leadership. I'd like to thank the Deputy Minister of Finance, the Director General of the National Treasury and his team for this contribution today. My thanks to the Commissioner of the South African Revenue Service, to the 10th Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, to colleagues in Cabinet, to the Minister's Committee on the Budget, and all MECs of Finance that have worked with us. My gratitude goes to the parliamentary committees who work tirelessly with us to process the legislation accompanying this speech. Fellow South Africans, we have come to the crossroads and we need to confront the problems that we have head on. I thank you very much and so submit. Thank you.